Okay, it looks like we have Sarah on the line.
Yes, here I am. How are you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing great, Sarah. How are you guys?
Yeah, very well.
Excellent.
Provided that the sirens that were running past our house a few minutes ago don't start up again. If they do, you will hear them just loud and clear.
Well, a little reality, so to speak.
Indeed, yes.
Okay, there's Tim. All right, so today we're going to talk a little about virtual reality and its cousin, augmented reality, impact on what we're doing today with our computers as regards gaming and possible future uses as regards productivity and other things like that. So, let's, and commercial value. Why don't you start things off, Sarah? Sarah?
Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I just lost all sound there for a minute.
Okay.
Me too.
Yeah. So, oh, okay. Well, yeah. We're going to talk about virtual reality and how its practicality, its non-practicality, its use in gaming, commercial ventures, productivity, anything and everything. Why don't you start us out, Sarah?
Okay. Well, we had an interesting experience over the Christmas holidays. One of our sons brought home his high-end gaming PC, and he had bought himself a virtual reality set. He had got the HTC Vive, which is the competitor to the Oculus Rift, and it's a fully wired headset plus two-hand controllers. And although you could see, you know, it was still rough and ready and there were bugs and crashes and dropouts, you could see the power of the technology. It was pretty mind-boggling. For example, he got an app that allowed us to wander around the surface of Mars, and you walk up to the Curiosity rover or you walk up to the Pathfinder rover and you get the sense of the scale of them that it's impossible to get when you just see them on TV or see a picture on the internet.
Now, when you say walk, are you actually walking? You're walking about with a headset on in your living room. Is that what you're doing when you're walking around Mars?
Okay, well, not exactly. You stand in the middle of a clear space in your living room, and you can move, but you can't move more than, you know, a couple of feet in each direction because you start running into furniture and walls. So the way they do it is they sort of give you a pointer and you point at where you want to be and your virtual body leaps that distance. So you get the impression of moving, but it's when you're actually standing still and you're right next to something that it really feels like you're there.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Tim, what did you think of it? How did it strike you?
I really loved it and was enormously impressed. It produced, there's an aspect to this that's hard to explain because it sounds directly contradictory, but I'll just state the contradiction, which is that I had an idea of what it would be like to use this gear. And when I actually put on the headset and held the things, everything worked the way I imagined it would work. But what I had failed to imagine was the impact of it on me. I found that the graphics were good, but not. But I didn't use, Sarah can discuss, she played a role-playing game in it, which had better graphics. The graphics that in the office simulation and so forth that I used were fairly cartoonish. But what was remarkable was just the experience of the interaction, and it had a much bigger impact on me than I had expected. I was deeply impressed. There was something quite mesmerizing about picking up your coffee cup and throwing it across the room and watching it describe a perfect parabola before smashing into the wall. So I was very impressed. Being a Mars freak, I really enjoyed the Mars thing. As I think we mentioned in a podcast a few months ago, I'm not going to get to Mars, but I am fascinated at the idea of humans getting to Mars. So it was a hell of a buzz to be able to look around the landscape in a simulation of what it would be like to be on Mars. And over the next few years, I'm sure that this will all get much better. And indeed, if I can plot on long enough, somebody will be on Mars, and it would be that, of course, you should be able to have a virtual reality experience on a much more sophisticated level once they do that. But anyway, my punchline is that I found it extremely impressive.
Yeah, and was it like your reaction to it? How did it feel? Was it visceral? Was it more emotional? Was it more like intellectually delightful? You know, what was that?
Yes, it was intellectually delightful. I found it kind of exhilarating, and every now and again you would laugh at just how good it is. So I guess they're describing the physics of how they do it is very well done. But when I finished this engrossing couple of hours, which went very quickly, I was really struck by the potential for this thing, because I've just confessed to being a Mars freak, so that's a case of going somewhere you can't. But I'm also very keen on history, and if you're keen on history, then not surprisingly, you might be keen on travel. And so, but not everybody can travel. So this makes possible virtual tourism. And Google have already mapped out. They put one of their walking packs on somebody and walked up and down the streets of Pompeii. And you can walk up and down the streets of Pompeii, but it would, if that was in a virtual reality headset, that would be extremely cool, because I haven't been to Pompeii, and I would like to go. And there's lots of other places you could walk through. Yeah, I'll stop raving on.
I just wanted to add to your point about the virtual tourism and the Google Street View. A simpler form of VR gear is the Google Cardboard and similar type of headset that you actually plug you slot your phone into, and the apps kind of give you two views. Do you remember as children, Jerry, did you have that ViewMaster thing where you put a disc in and you click the lever to show different scenes, and it's kind of 3D-ish?
Oh, I love that thing.
The ViewMaster now, Mattel, may actually make a 3D headset. And so does Google make them, and apparently you can just construct your own out of cardboard if you really want to. And you slot your iPhone in, and it's effectively like that old ViewMaster. It splits the vision between your two eyes to give you the 3D, provided the app at the other end of the phone is doing that for you, is giving you two images. And apparently, now I've not seen this, I've only read about it, but apparently Google Street View all works like this. So if you have a Google Cardboard or similar headset, you put your iPhone in or your Android phone in and set up Google Street View, you can actually virtually walk through Pompeii or wherever there is Street View.
Wow. That would be,
That's huge.
Yeah, and also affordable. I guess these cardboard things are, how much do they cost?
About $30.
Wow, yeah, definitely. And it's that's something one of us should check into, because I'd like to know what that feels like as compared to your other virtual reality experience, which was more immersive, I would guess.
Well, there's two things. One is that the big virtual reality set that we used had handsets. So you held a thing like a game controller in each hand, and that allowed the virtual reality set to work out where your hands were, and so you could do actions. Now, I don't know how, if you have your Google Cardboard or equivalent with your phone on your face, how do you operate it? I have no idea.
Right, yeah, that'd be the big one right there. Wow. Okay, so we've hit some points on virtual reality. So, Sarah, why don't you give us the definition of the difference between augmented reality and virtual reality?
Okay, well, augmented reality, you use your iPhone camera, or your phone camera, rather. It's not just your iPhone. You use your phone camera to display something on the screen, but then the phone augments that with more information, overlaid data or games or whatever. The big craze last year was Pokemon Go. And with Pokemon Go, you could you wandered around your neighborhood trying to catch Pokemon that would pop up at various locations. And when you spotted a Pokemon, you would sort of point your camera at it, and you would see the Pokemon transposed on the top of whatever it was you were looking at, your neighbor's house or the local's park or the street signs or whatever. You can use it for tourism, where you point, you know, you point your camera at the Taj Mahal, and up comes some display saying the Taj Mahal was built in blah, 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 and stuff like that. So augmented reality uses actual reality, not virtual reality, but actual reality, and then gives you more on top of that.
Somewhat like an overlay.
Yes.
Okay, now it seems to me that would be extremely useful in commercial situations also. You know, like you're walking down the street and you're looking through your augmented reality app, or maybe you're just using your camera, and if you flick a switch or a button on there, it'll call out what you're going by, what sales items there might be if you choose to see them, et cetera, et cetera. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think definitely good for tourism. I hadn't really thought about it from the more commercial sort of sales point of view, but of course, if you point your camera at the local, you know, Walmart, there's no reason why it couldn't pop up with saying, you know, what's on special at Walmart this week.
Right.
You've just
right.
made me realize that I've been using another one myself, which is astronomy programs on the phone for a long time now have had augmented reality. You can point your phone up at the night sky. It will overlay all the stars with the constellations, their names. You can tap on the various stars, like we have the Southern Cross, so you can name them, Acrux and so on. And they'll give you data about how far away the star is and so on, or what that satellite is that's just whizzing across the sky. So that's augmented reality.
Wow. Yeah. And how long has that been going on, that app?
2 or 3 years, 4 years.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's an old one.
Wow. Okay. I'll have to get that. That sounds interesting. Let's shift gears just slightly. And, you know, this last week or two, there's been a lot of speculation flowing around Apple as regards VR and AR. And I think this got fueled by the fact that they had such a good quarter and their stock's climbing. So there's less of an Apple is doomed kind of thing going on. And because of that, people are now going, well, our Apple is doomed story is dead. So we're going to have to write about something. Everybody wants to read about Apple. So
well,
now...
Well, the iPhone 8 is rubbish. I read that last week, yeah.
Oh, tell us about that. Tell us about the rubbish you read.
Oh, well, Tim was actually read it and told me about it. But apparently the iPhone 8 is going to have overheating issues. the iPhone 8 that hasn't been announced, that we know nothing about, you know, it's going to have overheating issues.
I was talking about more the other story that Apple's not doomed, and Apple, in fact, has an OLED display, no bezels, and somehow it projects holograms or whatever and has its first little steps into virtual reality or something. There's supposed to be something big coming because of all the MA, all the mergers and acquisitions that have been going on for the last 2-3 years revolve around, a lot of it does revolve around AR and VR.
Okay. The other example that we had with augmented reality is we went to the museum nearest us. They had a dinosaur exhibition, and it was pretty good dinosaur. They had animatronics, and so the dinosaurs would move, and the dinosaurs were in really good sort of environments. But in front of each dinosaur display, there was a poster, I guess you call it, and if you got the exhibitions app and you got your camera, your phone camera running this app, no, sorry, you ran the app and the app opened your phone camera and you pointed it at a certain segment of this display in front of the dinosaur, a 3D dinosaur kind of hopped up and walked across the display for you if you could, through your camera. That was another case of augmented reality, but 3D augmented reality, and it was really effective when you know you're pointing your camera at this flat table, but it looks like a Tyrannosaurus Rex is roaring at you standing on the table.
Wow. Yes. Now all this is starting to tie together some of these things that have happened in the past with Apple that many people. Of course, depending upon the narrative at the time, many people would go, oh, well, you know, that's nothing. I wonder why they did that. I think Parallax might be part of that. And I think also what happened with the camera in the 7 Plus with portrait stuff where they fuzz out the back algorithmically and all that stuff. I think these things are going to be figuring in, these technologies and the chips and everything that powers them is probably going to be part of this AR, VR stuff that's going to probably creep into everything we do. What do you think?
I wonder, is the two-lens a capability of the iPhone 7 Plus, is that significant? Because with the 3D effect kind of relies on having two viewpoints kind of mushed together. So having the two separate lenses could be a really big step along the way for this. But Tim was about to say something that's probably much more coherent than I have.
No, I wanted to throw in another wild card just for the fun of it and tie together this discussion with our earlier podcast about what we can expect to see in desktop iMacs. And a problem with desktop iMacs is they've always been scorned by the PC community as gaming machines because many years ago, early on, Apple chose for power reasons, I think mostly, to use what were essentially mobile graphics processing units in the iMac. And it meant that they didn't have the grunt of the heavy-duty, fire-breathing graphics cards of the PC world. And that was a hard fact. Apple were never really going to... I just think it's not in their DNA ever to make a machine that would to make an iMac that would take those giant PC graphics cards, the cutting edge graphics cards. But I read a thing today, because I don't keep up with those graphics cards, but I read a thing today about something that happened 12 months ago, and a little bell went off in my head. What happened was, I think it's AMD announced that the new graphics system, or whatever you'd like to call it, called Polaris, which was really their way of their word for describing dropping from, I think it's 28 nanometers to 14 nanometer technology in their graphics cards. And the punchline was to make them more energy efficient and cooler. And the bell that went off was, oh, okay, well, Apple haven't done anything much on desktop machines since that announcement. And I wondered whether Apple had used, I think, AMD graphics before. They use whichever graphics they feel like. They're not wedded just to Intel. And it suddenly occurred to me whether they might have latched onto this and said, all right, well, these will now be cool enough to put in a desktop Mac. And if they did that, that might begin to make possible some of this virtual reality stuff. That might be enough graphical grunt to make an iMac a bit of a contender again. So I just threw that out for fun. God knows what they're actually doing, but it would be fun if they did get some serious graphics power.
Yeah. You know, my take on this is, I don't know, I may be way off on this too. This is, and of course, all this is speculation. But my gut feeling on this thing is that Apple is going to do this stuff in a way nobody expects. It'll be highly integrated. It will be very practical, and it will also be fun. I don't think they're going to try to compete head-to-head with Oculus and some of these other things. I think it's going to be more subtle than that, if I'm not mistaken. But, I struggle to think about what they would do with it. But there are people speculating about this, and you can read about it in some of the more advanced rumor articles or what have you. But what do you think about that, Sarah?
Well, I do have a couple of theories. One is that last year, the Apple stores were selling the ViewMaster 3D headset. Apple has now stopped selling that. That's an interesting development. And have they stopped because it doesn't sell? Have they stopped because it's no good? I haven't heard much about it. Or have they stopped because they're about to start competing with it?
Right.
The other thing is that the whole ethos of Macs and iPads and Apple and phones was there's no operating manual. You don't need to learn how to use them. It's just so intuitive. Well, with Macs, that's hardly still the case. But certainly with iPhones and iPads, it's basically supposed to be just start poking at things and see what happens. With the virtual reality stuff, there is much less of a learning curve for doing things because you're doing things the way you would normally do things. For example, we play games. We play role-playing games. And so maybe you're a mighty warrior striding through the dungeon trying to fight off killer spiders, a frequent occurrence if you're playing role-playing games. Now, if I'm playing those on my Mac, I have to know that I press the W key to move forwards, and I press, the number one key to slash with my sword, and I press the number two key to push up my shield to defend myself, and I press, the X key to dodge backwards. How are you supposed to know that? If you're doing the same thing in a virtual reality, you just do it. You lift your arm to raise your sword. You thrust with your sword hand. You dodge backwards. You duck sideways. It's just doing what you normally do. And this seems to me such an Apple-y thing that you don't need training. It's just doing what comes naturally.
Yeah, that sounds more like you say, Apple-y, yes. There's this aspect of Apple that figures out very, very clever ways to use technology. And sometimes they make some pretty big leaps, and they'll use the technology in such an unexpected way. And I just think something's going on with that screen on the iPhone. Of course, the iPhone is where they focus a lot of their attention because of sales. But I think that's one of the things we need to watch. Who knows how they're using the technology and the know-how they've acquired through mergers and acquisitions. We'll just have to keep an eye on this and watch. So that's about it time-wise. We're getting toward the
end
here.
That is about it time-wise. But I am feeling inclined to splurge $30 on a Google Cardboard and see what we can do with our iPhones.
Well, let's do some follow-up on that in one of the subsequent episodes and get a report on that. That sounds interesting. Any closing thoughts, Tim?
That would be interesting, yeah.
No, I'm just... oh, yes, I have got one more for you. Augmented reality. You see lots of very, very admirable and dedicated people sweating away in gyms, riding fake bicycles and staring at the little numbers in front of them or listening to their music through their earbuds and with a 1,000-yard stare. And I thought what they really should be doing is they should have a screen in front of them and a nice fan blowing in their face. And on that screen, they should be riding their bicycle down the Via Appia, south of Rome, or, I don't know, through the hills of the Pyrenees. But that's a virtual reality experience that would make their exercise, I think, far more stimulating and fun. I think that'd be great to have a good simulation like that. What don't you reckon?
Oh yeah, I think that's a huge thing going on over here. I'm sure it is there in Australia as well. People get sedentary jobs and then they have to do something to become more active. So they go to a gym where they're totally enclosed and are looking at each other or looking at themselves in a mirror. And now they need some virtual reality.
Yeah.
And do those things already exist? Is that what you were saying?
No, what I'm saying is that it's a convoluted set of circumstances that necessitate virtual reality. And the fact is, you could help a neighbor or something and get your exercise and not do any of that. But anyway, yes.
Get real exercise, you mean, instead of going to the gym.
Yeah.
It doesn't count, does it?
If you can't measure it, does it count? Yeah.
No, I don't think so. One last thing. Tim Cook, recently, the last few days, he said something about augmented reality being the way of the future. So I think, I'm not so sure about the virtual reality, but I think Apple is definitely aiming for something in the augmented reality sphere.
Well, we'll keep following up on this in subsequent episodes, and I thank you guys for your time, and have yourself a good remainder of the evening, and carry on, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, and you have
a good rest
of your Friday, Jerry, and bye, everybody, and we'll talk to you again this time next week.
Adios.
Bye.